Ducks and the Beavers, of course, as well. Make sure we get them all in. I'll tell you, I'm so happy to be here with you all, to be here with Congressman Lovesack, to be here with Neera Tanden, whose think tank generates lots of great material for us to be able to take on the Trump agenda. So thank you for your entire team. And wasn't that a great speech by Mayor Pete? I know, Pete, that you threw your heart into that campaign for chairmanship and didn't get it, but you are contributing an enormous amount to the dialogue in America, and I hope you'll keep carrying your message across this nation.
Yeah.
My wife, Mary, is here. She's sitting over here in the white, little waving her hand. She can join me for thanks. I'm so glad she's able to make it. And you know, she's a nurse. And nurses, how many nurses do we have? Medical professionals, yeah, let's hear for nurses, all right. Nurses are up here with the angels. And sometimes members of Congress, public opinion, well, you know that they're sometimes not up with the angels. So she also keeps me humble. Fabulous life partner. And thank you, Mary, for coming and joining me on this trip. So appreciate having you. And I want to say a big thank you to Tom Harkin, even though he's not here. For a lifetime of fighting for people of Iowa, but people of the United States of America, for people with disabilities, for people who need a job, for people who want to make sure that they can raise their family on a solid foundation. He's been an incredible force. When I arrived in the Senate, Tom Harkin, natural mentor, cares about these issues. He knows how to fight for these issues. I thought, you know, every new member of the Senate should get a wristband with the initials WWTHD. What would Tom Harkin do? You couldn't go wrong with that. You know, just last week, Mary and I were out hiking the Pacific Crest Trail. And if you've seen the images in the newspapers, on the television, of the Columbia Gorge aflame, that's right where we were hiking. And we were dodging. We had to change our course a few times because of fires. There was quite a bit of smoke. Nothing like the big mess that you saw in the last few days. But that first day was a tough hike. We had to climb up 4,000 feet out of the Columbia Gorge. And we had backpacks on. They were way too heavy, especially for that climb. And then we ran out of water. And it was really hot. And we were struggling. And we were hurting. And, I'm not recommending that for your honeymoon. The rest of Oregon, but don't start out with a 4,000 foot climb and running out of water. But it made us think about the Oregon pioneers who came over those mountains. Now those pioneers, when they came over the mountains and they had to haul up their wagon trains, incredibly difficult terrain, shortage of food, shortage of water, but they persisted. They endured. Have you heard that? They were determined. They were determined. And they had to work together to get over the mountains, and they had to work together to survive after they made it into the Oregon Valley, the Willamette Valley. They were determined, they worked together, and they were unstoppable. And I share that story because it's that spirit that we absolutely are going to have if we're going to put Iowa back on track, and if we're going to put the United States back on track. And we have some challenges to do so. We have an economy that a lot of rules have been changed to make it more difficult for working families. And we have a rigged political system. So we have two sets of mountains to get over, and I'm going to talk about both of those. I can tell you that when I was graduating from high school, people were pretty happy that we'd had three decades in which workers had largely shared in the wealth that they were creating. They'd made a huge leap forward. This was certainly true for my family. They could own a home. We could go camping on vacations. They could save a little bit for retirement, and they could save a little bit to help their son, that's me, be the first one in their family to go to college. But that vision is a vision that changed in 1974. We have seen now 4+ decades in which workers' wages have been flat or declining. Have we seen the big leap forward like we saw in our parents' generation? And yet the wealth of this country has continued to grow and grow and grow. You know, my father was a mechanic, a millwright, a proud union machinist. And on a single wage, he could provide that foundation for his family to thrive. And they imbued me with how America had made this possible. They didn't view it as they had done it on their own. No, that their country, the decisions made, America together had made that possible. My mother's philosophy was, don't step on others trying to get ahead. Can I just get 10 minutes with my mother, with our president, and maybe change the direction of this administration? And she also said, son, do what's right and do your best. Pretty good guidance for a life. My father, he encapsulated the spirit of creating a foundation for everyone to thrive with his vision of public schools. He said, son, you go through the doors of that school and you work hard and you can do almost anything in America because we live in America. That was the foundation that generation was creating for us. And I thought that was a pretty cool thing because I knew that our community, a blue-collar community, didn't have some of the advantages materially that some of the other communities had. Shouldn't we fight for an America where the son or daughter of a mill worker or a fast food worker or a fireman or a host of other solid jobs could have the same opportunities as the son or daughter of a CEO? But it's a vision that's fading. It's a vision that's fading. You've seen it here in Iowa with the attack on the ability of workers to organize to get a fair share of their wages, a big assault on their bargaining rights, an assault on the ability of communities to raise their minimum wage. Shouldn't we have a principle in America that nobody who works full time lives in poverty? And shouldn't we stand with the workers of Iowa and the workers of America that they get a fair share of the wealth it creates so they can have a solid foundation for their families to thrive? Nationally, we have some big challenges in the economy. You see big companies with big lobbying team getting big breaks, big insider deals, making it harder for the small companies. We see trade policies that have given full access to our marketplace, but a huge advantage to foreign manufacturers because they can pay virtually nothing and pollute everything and have no labor rights and they can make things for less. We have to change that. If we don't make things in America, we're not going to have a middle class here in the United States of America. And to really have economic opportunity, we have to make sure that doors are no longer slammed in the face of American workers. We have to take on prejudice and we have to take on profiling. Every door should be open in every field for every American. I think of the last line of the Pledge of Allegiance, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Beautiful words. How about indivisible? How about the indivisible organization that's doing grassroots organizing all across this country? Well, words are beautiful, but turning them into reality is even better. It's time for us to end discrimination, to end prejudice from our hearts and from our laws. Ted Kennedy, when I came to the Senate, asked me to take the lead on the Employment Non-Discrimination Act to end workplace discrimination. And he passed away a few months later in 2009, and he was sitting on my shoulder for years, and I was working in every way I could to build a coalition. And in 2013, the Senate passed that bill, the Employment Non-Discrimination Act, to end workplace discrimination. And I'd like to tell you that I had a fabulous time at the signing ceremony in the Oval Office. But we didn't make it to the Oval Office because the House of Representatives failed to take up the bill. They would have passed it. They failed to take up the bill. In addition, I've authored the Equality Act. The Equality Act, instead of taking one piece of the puzzle, says let's provide full opportunity for our LGBT community on the same foundation as the 1964 Civil Rights Act, end discrimination in jury duty, end it in mortgages, end it in other financial products, end it in restaurants and theaters and places to live, end it in every possible way, full freedom, full opportunity for every American. And I'll tell you, when we announced this bill, standing next to John Lewis, a champion of the civil rights movement, who walked over that bridge in Selma and was clubbed in the head. It was really a powerful connection between the generations in this battle for opportunity. And while we're at it, let's pass DACA protection for our dreamers. Here's my prediction, we're going to get it done by December. President Trump just signed a bill that means we'll run out of funds for the federal government in December. President Trump just signed a bill that says we'll hit the debt ceiling in December. How about we use that leverage for a whole host of things, but certainly freedom for our dreamers. And we have other factors in the criminal justice system that we need to be fixed. We need to keep saying the words, Black Lives Matter. As long as there are folks in America who are acting as if they don't matter. That is important. Well, in addition to the challenge of opportunity in our economy, we have another challenge. It's a rigged political system. Now you have here a legislature that just passed these bogus ID laws and shortened early voting and did a whole host of terrible things. So how about we get enough House and Senate members elected in Iowa to repeal all of that? And elect one of these seven candidates for governor who will sign those bills. You know, voters are now being stymied in state after state, and yet Americans fought overseas and shed their blood for the right and ability of other countries to have the ballot, and yet they're trying to deny it here. Let's stand for voter empowerment and destroy voter suppression. Amen. Have you heard of Citizens United?
Yes.
I thought maybe so. Anyone who's lasted this long in a political rally has heard of Citizens United. And thank you for staying. 5-4 vote that's the exact opposite of our Constitution. Our Constitution starts with what three words?
We the people,
right? It didn't start with we the powerful. Didn't start with we the privileged. Government of, by, and for the people. That's the vision that is destroyed by Citizens United, which gives billionaires the equivalent of a stadium sound system to drown out the voice of millions of Americans. We have to reclaim our Constitution, and we have to reclaim we the people. Now the Koch cartel, Koch brothers and friends, they proceeded to take Citizens United and put an incredible amount of money into the races of 2014. You remember their goal was to take over the Senate. Yeah. And they ran third party vicious campaigns in Louisiana and Arkansas and North Carolina and Colorado and Alaska and Iowa. Absolutely. And they won all those races. And in January 15, just as those new Republican senators are trying to find their seats, they announced that 2 years out, they were going to spend nearly $1 billion in the next election. Anybody here have $1 billion we can put into the next election? Okay, no volunteers for that. And that's why we are about people power, the power of the people, and that's what it's going to take to take on this Citizens United funding. At the moment that they announced that they were going to spend that money in November 2016 elections, what they were saying is they were the masters of the Senate, the puppet masters of the Senate. And when they say jump, the Republican leadership in the Senate says, how high? That is a sad state of affairs. That's the type of corruption the Supreme Court said on Citizens United wouldn't happen. Have you seen a Republican environmentalist in the Senate since Citizens United passed?
Nope.
Case closed. That type of concentration corrupts and destroys the fundamental vision of our Constitution, turns it on its head, and we want our Constitution not on its head, we want its own 2 feet, its vision for working Americans, for every single American having an opportunity to thrive. So then comes 2016, and Antonin Scalia dies. And within hours, Mitch McConnell comes out and he says, no nominee from President Obama will get a debate or a vote. Do you know that we take an oath of office to the Constitution? The Constitution has this clause called advice and consent, and we are supposed to debate and vote and determine whether someone is fit or unfit to be in office. But for the first time in U.S. history, never happened before, a majority leader said, we are not going to follow that responsibility for a Supreme Court justice. 15 times before, we've had a vacancy in election year. 11 times, the Senate debated and voted and confirmed. 4 times, they debated and voted and denied. But they always debated and always voted. They always did their job in 2016. And why has that happened? Because the Koch cartel didn't want a possibility of Citizens United getting overturned. That's how big, how important this is to the power of the Republican Party, the power of the privileged and powerful that we have to take on. I fought that every way I could through 2016, 2017, as mentioned, 15 hours, but you didn't mention the 28 minutes. And I'll tell you, after 15 hours on the floor of the Senate, you gotta mention the 28 minutes because every single one of those minutes felt like an entire hour. You're not allowed to sit down. You can't leave the floor. You can't go to the bathroom. And what I was asking for was a Democratic and Republican leadership to get together and stop that travesty, that corrupting of the responsibility of the Senate, and the damage to the integrity of the court, because it was a court-packing scheme, pure and simple, a scheme that we must find a way somehow to reverse and reclaim the Supreme Court and have a court that supports the vision of our Constitution. It can feel discouraging, the economy, the challenge with the political system, the Koch cartel, a president addicted to division. But I know not you're not here because you're discouraged, and I'm not discouraged. Because we saw the power last year of grassroots America taking on the powerful and winning on health care. Thank you. Thank you, Progress Iowa. Sometimes they might feel like we're David against Goliath. But David won, and so will we if we apply our minds and hearts to it. And we have to go further on healthcare. It wasn't enough to stop a diabolical scheme to rip healthcare from 20 million people and give $250 billion to the richest Americans. I mean, how is it possible a single member of Congress voted for that? That's how awful it was. So we stopped it. But we still have a really complicated healthcare system with drug prices out of control. Let's just start by giving Medicare the ability to negotiate the price of drugs. Yeah. That would help. Yeah. And then let's stop the Trump administration from sabotaging the insurance place marketplace, which they are doing day in and day out. We have to stop that. Pass reinsurance, make sure the funds for the open period are funded. But here's the big issue. We have this very, very complicated healthcare system. Medicare and Medicaid, on exchange, off exchange, workers' compensation, self-insurance, insurance at work that only covers you and you have to do something else for your children, children's health insurance program. How about instead a simple, seamless Medicare for all that makes sure that by virtue of being an American, you get the care that you need? And let's cancel some of those weapon programs the Pentagon doesn't even want and fund a lot better K-12 education for our children. And when it comes to college, it's a financial nightmare. How many of you are worried about the cost for your children or your extended family or friends and neighbors being able to go to college? I see a lot of hands in my blue-collar community. Some parents are telling their kids, don't think about going to college. You'll end up with a loan the size of a mortgage and possibly no job, and it'll be a millstone around your neck. That's not opportunity in the United States of America. So we need to do what so many other countries have done and make sure that our children can go to a public university debt-free. And for everyone out there who currently has loans, sometimes at high interest rates, how about, I see some hands go up on that, how about enabling people to refinance those loans at the same low rate the big banks get when they borrow from the federal government? And let's make good paying jobs our national priority, not adding more zeros to billionaires' bank accounts. Let's take that philosophy to the tax debate coming up on Capitol Hill. Let's take it to the debate over infrastructure and actually put people to work in America and in the process put broadband in every rural community in the United States of America. And let's take that philosophy to transforming our energy economy, where tons of jobs can be created as we move from fossil fuels to renewable energy. I love having a train emphasize each point I make. Speaking of climate disruption, I see a sign out there that says, talk climate. How about we call it climate disruption, not climate change, global warming? Those terms are far too nice and gentle. There is nothing gentle about Harvey. There is nothing nice about Irma. There is nothing good about 80 forest fires burning in my forest, in my home state right now and across so many other states because of the changing climate. You know, in Oregon, the pine beetles are doing really well and the trees are dying. And the oystermen lost 1 billion baby oysters in 2008 because of the increase in the acidification of the ocean. Everywhere you look, the world is changing. And it's not some theory about some computer model some decades from now. It's right now. It's everywhere. And we are the generation that has to take it on. That's why I put forward the Keeping the Ground Bill to say what we own as citizens, what you and I own, the coal, the gas, the oil, needs to stay in the ground. And it's why I authored the 100 by 50 bill, 100% clean and renewable energy. We have to stop thinking in terms of a little bit more insulation, a little bit more mileage for the car, a little bit better appliance rating. We have to think in terms of the complete end to the extraction and burning of fossil fuels and 100% clean and renewable energy. That's the vision we have to entertain. We don't have a lot of time. Right now we're losing the race. So let's catch up and win this race. It's the biggest test facing humankind on this planet, and we have no other planet to go to. We must win. James Truslow Adams, the author who coined the term American Dream, said this. He said, ever since we became an independent nation. Each generation has seen an uprising of ordinary Americans to save that dream from the forces that appear to be overwhelming it. Those are words for this moment. Are you ready to be part of an uprising of ordinary Americans to save the dream our nation was founded on? Are you ready here in Iowa to work day and night so in 2018 you restore a We the People state legislature and governor? And are you ready in so doing to take that model, that message, so we can put the entire nation back on track? It'll take that determination, that working together, that unstoppable spirit of the Oregon pioneers. It'll take that effort. You all have it. Use it. I'll do anything I can to help you. Together, let's go to work. Thank you for having me here, and God bless you.